I am This largely because of medical practitioners who submit claims, travel claims where they should not have been. And we're happy to announce that that was discovered by management and steps were taken to recover that money. And there's been great success in recovering that money. That could only have happened because of our management being very alive to the issues of risk management when it comes to finances. We also have to rebrand Legal Aid. Once the act was changed from Legal Aid Board to Legal Aid South Africa, we obviously have to rebrand and put Legal Aid South Africa ahead instead of it just being known as a board. This is now a management, a national body, and it must assume the character of a national body. Among them, we also have to proceed and acquire property. We have to manage the risk of managing property. The Legal Aid South Africa no longer believes in renting buildings. In some places, we found that landlords were overcharging us. Landlords were not actually giving us the services that we need. So, to then challenge many years ago that Legal Aid is to acquire own property. On that note, I'll end. That was my portion of the introduction as well as my remark. But let me upfront say that the board of Legal Aid is functioning effectively in this manner because of the very high caliber of management that we have who are very motivated, who have been able to present to us as a board. Through the question of events that take place in the organization. And we are more than able to say that they have actually been good at assisting us in being able to raise decisions whenever we're called upon to give consent or authorize certain things, whether it be property, whether it be problems, IT problems, and all those. And acquiring several staff members at all levels. We rely on our employees because they are proved to be very effective on that role. Thank you.
In general, we have
our intervention seems to be paying off. We hope to meet our target in the current year. The high cost also is well within our target of 30% this current year, 2022. We move to slide 15, Chairman, and provide a little bit more information on the critical work we do. You find that aggressive crimes are the highest category of crimes across all court types, followed by economic and then narcotic. Sexual offences, total number of them is 6% if we look at all matters, but it constitutes up to 25% in the regional and high court. So there are challenges also in terms of that particular crime pattern. If we look at the pending matters in the area of the total at the end of the financial year, there are 161,000 pending matters, of which 50% was in district court matters, regional court was about 27,000 matters, and several just under 30. I didn't go over our performance against the target, concerned again at the regional court level. With regard to our national footprint, we argue that our footprint is already the same. We have not increased our number of local offices or satellite offices. They currently stand at 64 each. Our staff in recruitment rate is 2,751, of which just under 80% is legal staff, including paralegal. We also have accredited 1,176 student care practitioners. We have 10 cooperative partners, primarily university lobbyists. And we have also entered into agreements with five private firms on an agency agreement. In terms of our mixed model, the bulk of our work is standing out at our justice system that constitutes 95%. Duty care constitutes 4% of our work and 1% is shared between co-op partners and agency agreements. In terms of the mixed model, the total number of matters provided across all the living systems is 444,962 new matters, of which 87% are criminal and 30% are civil matters. We also provided advice to 322,694 applicants during the financial year. And we have to report that our finalized matters matched and slightly exceeded our new matters for the financial year. So we have achieved a clear rate of 1%. Performance in terms of slide 19, this is the longitudinal perspective, how we are doing
So this is the last slide on this presentation, will be our role in ensuring that the justice system functions more efficiently. And we do this by ensuring that we participate in all the forums that have been established, where we take an active role in addressing issues that where we may be contributing to delay, as well as also highlighting other inefficiencies or other cultural barriers that can be improved on. And we ensure adequate level of representation across all this forum. I hand over to Patrick.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair and honorable members. I will be dealing with the issues in regard to delivery of civil legal aid services, obviously in terms of our strategy and programs to deliver quality civil legal aid services by time focus, back with the priority. Services. So we made about 1,458 visits to the community. general advice or demand based advice, I've turned away from two clients. Specifically, we did advertise our call center on matchboxes, as we mentioned, and that there has been an increase of clients coming to us as a result of that, but we've also had a 1,000% increase in brain calls over the previous financial year relating to that. And advanced data centers and our satellite offices provided 253,681 consultations in those advanced centers. We also provided advice to remand detainees in correctional facilities. So this is where we sent paralegals to the highest number of prisons that have the highest number of awaiting trial detainees in order to specifically those that don't have legal representation to convince them to apply for legal representation. Community outreach advice services, as we mentioned, was 350 community advice sites. Advice line calls made up 41,777 of our overall advice consultations. We also have an MOU with the South African National AIDS Council and the Hospice Palliative Care of South Africa on ongoing advice line, and it's available to vulnerable clients that have gone according to the call center and don't need to leave where they are. Cell phone services are available on our websites, and we've got 36 modules dealing with a wide variety of instances where there's support applying for exemption from school fees and the process, small claims, all the processes on that. And our civil litigation templates on hot box were implemented to enhance our ability to efficiently produce legal pleadings and documents and notices, so we've standardized that across the organization. Just overall, in terms of the general advice, that shows you the trends of the last three financial years. So you see the advice at justice centers has increased slightly in this financial year. The advice line has also increased from the previous financial year, but slightly down from 2014-15. The age of paralegals, that's the one that's also slightly down in terms of the numbers we've seen overall. Regarding impact services, obviously this is then to give content to our constitution through specific and focused litigation. We were able to address constitutional rights, social rights, developmental groups, social justice matters. As mentioned earlier, we have provided funding and on 13 raises in this financial year, both financial year that we're reporting on, and 15 were finalized for the success rate of 90%. Obviously, there's a thorough vetting process in terms of approving funding for these matters because we obviously want to make sure that these funds are dedicated to matters that have a good process of success. As I mentioned, the silly process matter, we've been involved in the silly process over the last 12 years in regarding the mining company, miners being subject to silly process and subject to dust conditions in the mines. Impact on our children overall. We do have an impact booklet, which will be made available, that's now been published for the 6 months yet that we're consecutive in setting out the matters that we have been involved in. And in terms of the overall possibility, I will now hand it over to Jenny for the question.
Thank you, Mr. Underbank, and you'll be following.
Thank you.
2020 and the budget for 2016-17 as well. And in that, the board also was engaged on the question that was focusing on how we can realign our finances given the current situation that is prevalent in the country. Our ultimate deliverables, of course, we would show in the next slide, where to say that we were able to comply in terms of the expected financial reporting, and ultimately the audited model affirms our performance. Next slide. The National Trader has given a guideline, and one of the issues that has given very clearly was that you do not have any additional funding. And in this past financial year, has said that we did not. However, we had a reduction of grant allocation of 92 million. But we would like to report that we were able to manage the cash allocation that which we have, and in that we were able to live within the budget allocation of 1.7 million. We still think that our financial ratio is within acceptable means, at 1.27, which is above the industry standard. And as a result, as we manage our finances, we continue to make sure that we spend the money that is expected of ourselves, and we continue to be spending our budget at around 99% as the during the course of the year, the National Trade Area has come up with a number of realizing especially for regulation on supply chain management. And as an organization, we have been able to realign our processes along with the directives that have been given. We also did have a committee which is functional and effective in managing supply chain related aspects. And we have also been able to effect the processes that are required by the National Trade Area in terms of managing suppliers through their platform. Lastly on that, we would like to report that we continue to pay our creditors, and 90% of them continue to get the payment within the required 30-day period. As indicated, we have a qualified audit from the Auditor General's office for the 16th consecutive time with the reporting period. To emphasize that during the 2016-17 also, we had zero findings in terms of audit OCHA General report. Having said that, we are still required and we continue to leadership to oversee our finances in terms of planning and spending and compliance. And we continue to ensure that there should not be any realization of adjustment of financial statements, and we continue to provide a full report in terms of how we perform in terms of spending against our targets. Our governance structures continue to be on place in terms of managing our finances, and our compliance in terms of legal legislation are essential. For the 2016-17 spending pattern, as outlined, starting with salaries up to capital expenditure are all about 90%, as you can see, and the ultimate one that indicates that we continue to spend at 99%, stretching our assets in such a manner that we are able to live within the allocation, retaining our operational expenditure within the allocated amount, making sure that our direct expenditure are being provided through which respond to our legal commitments in terms of judicial practitioners in particular in corporations, and our personnel are being paid from our salaries, and in this case, we continue to cover the cost that is required of us. In terms of annual financial statement that has been provided for in the annual report, what becomes important on the next slide is that we have a reduction in terms of our total assets, and this is being informed by, in particular, current assets, and the current asset reduction has come as a result of a reduction in cash flows. And you will see with the subsequent slide that the cash flow aspect, that is the grant allocation reduction from the National Trade Area, effectively have an impact in terms of our financial reporting.
Therefore, as a result, as you can see on this little slide, we have a deficit on our operation of 170 million. It is an increasing deficit on the basis of we are continuing to eat into our cash reserves because our grant allocation has been reduced. The cash flow, outflows also are being emphasized on the slide, showing that for the period 2016-17, we continue as compared to the last financial year to have a increasing cash outflow as compared to the cash reserve that which we are having. You will see that the increasing cash and cash equivalent at 27 million as compared to the last financial year, which was 3 million. And that shows that because we do not receive more cash into our bank account, instead we are paying more and therefore we eat it into our cash reserves. As a result, the actually cash on cash equivalent there, that is the reserve that are remaining in our bank account is 245 million from 370 million of last year. Just to emphasize at this point that the money that is being shown in particular as cash and cash equivalent in here are constituted much more by our commitment of judicial payments which have not yet been paid out because we are waiting for deliverables from private law firms, and then at that point we will be able to be paid. So it is not some sort of cash surplus which we would say that is not meant to be paying anyone and it just be put aside for no commitment. So it's already committed funds. Slide 44 indicates that yes, we have a balanced budget, and it has already indicated there that covers the 1.7 billion allocation that we have put in terms of our operations, personnel, capital, and direct commitment. And as a result, we have been able to also spend that money with only a small differential of about 7. However, what becomes important is that because of a reduction in terms of our revenue inflow, we find ourselves having to spend much more than what we receive. Further than that, we would like to indicate to say that we continue in spite of that to be within the budget, and as you can see that our expenditure levels have continued to be within the allocated budget. We also like to highlight to say that on the sector of the 30,000 surplus periods that came as a result of a project that we have of hosting the International Legal Aid Conference, and we received some contributions from some private law firms in terms of making good of the conference to continue. Therefore, that is why you see that as shown as a 30 million surplus there. Next slide. 10,000. Yeah, next slide. On the issue of governance, what informs our governance structure, starting with our board and going to our management structure, what becomes important also in the in terms of how we manage our finances, as already indicated about our BID committee arrangement and the center that which we have within our organizations that are guided by the policy. In this respect, what becomes quite important was what was supposed to be adhered to in terms of governance, the PFMA requirements, the best practices in terms of scheme 3 guidance, and ultimately to achieve 100% compliance of the statutory requirements. Our deliverables in this respect, we have been able to, in terms of our listed and identified legislation, to adhere to them in the main, and we have been able to instill a practice of adhering to provincial procurement policy framework requirements and the PFMA. However, we had about 57 incidents of non-compliance, and in this case, we are identifying as to what were the issues that arose from there, which actually resulted in a 2.1 million irregular extension. One, it is an issue of non-tax compliance to landlords of property that which we are leasing. We would The other part thereof, which is not a bigger part of the 2.1 million, is supply chain management issues where people would have not complied fully in terms of the requirement of the federal regulation. However, in this, we have not experienced further expenditures, so to say, as a matter of clarification. It is a matter of procedural action. On the side of managing risk, what becomes important here is the audit, internal audit framework which we have as an organization. We have a functioning and effective internal audit which looks at overseeing the performance of the organization in terms of compliance issues. And in this respect, the combined assurance framework that which we have continues to provide support. Confidence that the operations of the organization are operating to the expected target that we have set. For this past period, we have been able to cover beyond the target that we have set. In terms of our target, it's more than 95% in terms of our audit coverage plan. However, in that, as already indicated on our presentation analysis plan, audit reports were completed on time. And we had also in one additional project that which we attained, and in the overall we exceeded our target of 180%. And as a result, when we look at it, we are of the view that we have improved much more than what we have also done in the past financial year. And the AIDS office is also able to rely upon our performance in terms of technology. Next slide. Further than that, we can report the area that we have been able to cover up to 96.2%. which in our view is less than the industry norm in terms of staff turnover rate. What is important, I think, to indicate that we have since realized that our employment the proposition continues to be strong, and it also retains our staff in terms of the practices that which we have as an organization. Next slide. It is quite important for us also to continue to make sure that our staff are incapacitated. Two aspects that we are lifting in here is the training aspect of our staff and skills development of our staff, and we are reporting to say that in terms of our set output, it is an annual training plan and ultimately an annual training report. We have since been able to provide some detail for the annual training plan for this particular and the annual training report for the period before the one that we are reporting on. Also, further to that, we are able to meet the requirement of a workplace skills plan and required for submission, and we are able also to continue to report to board on our employment and equity plan, of which we are still on time for the 5-year plan that has been sent. The outline of our employment equity plan, as already indicated, is still for the second year, and we continue to strive in terms of our targeted 5-year plan. We are of the view that given the current situation, we will manage it within the allocated budget and the available position that which we have. And all aspects that have been highlighted today, I think they are clear in terms of where we are. I've already indicated the issue about people development. I've already indicated in the action, indicated to say that we continue to focus on leadership development, especially on management level, to ensure that we have a culture that is focused on achievement, and at the same time we have a commonality in terms of performance. We continue to strive for high performance, and that is why I have already indicated earlier. We are also being seen as a leading organization in terms of human resource practices within the broader public sector component, and we have been accredited for the 8th consecutive year, and we continue to lead the public sector segment for the second year. One IT aspect, just to indicate that our IT platform continues to be stable, and at the same time our performance in terms of our network is quite satisfactory. We are not experiencing any issues as it were, and as a result, we are comfortable that we are performing this requirement. Yes, as a matter of planning, we have set ourselves to develop a new software in the sense of a new electronic legal aid administration program, and for this year, we are anticipating that we will complete a new core software platform for our business. Other issues that become important for us in this case is that while we continue to perform, the issue of managing our electronic legal aid administration, as already indicated, has progressed well. And we have indicated on this slide that we have anticipated that on the fourth quarter of this financial year, in this regard, we are indicating that we are still on course, but in this financial year, we will be setting ourselves to completing that aspect. Right. On the side of communication, marketing, advertising, and outreach, may I indicate to the Honourable Committee to say that we are trying to do our best. As we speak now and even in the last financial year as reported, we continue to review our advertisement in terms of media interviews, in terms of social media, in terms of outdoor advertisement, in terms of radio and television, and we have been able to meet our target as outlined in all of the aspects. And we have emphasized the issue about branding our services and making sure that we are accessible and at the same time they are about where our offices are. And as a result, you can see the target emphasize that they are in line with our set targets from the beginning of the financial. The last slide that I will talk about is about stakeholder engagement that involves all our stakeholders in terms of those who are within the justice cluster, or those who are on community organizations, and NGOs in particular, and the media, and all other key partners that we continue to partner with. In this respect, we are indicating that in terms of our targeted performance, we have 204 media networks, and I would emphasize to say that in the main, we have a positive aspect of response in terms of how we relate to what is required of us and what the public are informed of. We had about 478 outstanding discussions, which are varying in terms of whether on the government platform, on NGO platform, or community platform. And we have 269 partnership events, and in this regard, it's a matter of making sure that we are continuing to be accessible and be available in terms of reaching those who are in need. And that's very kind of my presentation.
Thank you. Thank you very much, number one. And then Judge, is that the end of the presentation?
we could take over the responsibility for this linking to the budgetary provisions, and if you want at any point for then Patrick will be able to give you a further update of where we are on that. And then the other two issues relate to additional staff, and I think that additional funds, and as you know that we were not able to get additional funds, and therefore we were not able to expand civil matters. But we are, what we do want to confirm to committee is that we haven't in that in the year financial year 2016-17, which we are reporting on, we did not reduce any of our services. If any of the numbers of matters decreased, as you can see in the when you do a comparative analysis, then that relates to demand, and it's not because we cut back on services. So for that year, I just want to you to be sure that we did not. For the new financial year, we may have an impact because we have had a reduction, and that will lead me maybe to the section on challenges, so I should just go move to that as well, which is the next section. It's that in the next financial year, in the next financial year, which means the current one that we are in, we have a shortfall of 45 million. In the next 3 years, we have shortfalls of 59, 63, and 118 million. We have tried to ensure that this shortfall is made through reductions in things other than compensation and employees, and that's because our core service is provided by our in-house legal practitioners, and so if we reduce salaries, it means that we will cut down on the number of legal professionals we have, and therefore we try to reduce that. And in this year, we were largely successful. We only we allowed it to impact in a small way, but in the outer year, as you can see, it is likely to become an issue. So that may mean that we will have to reduce the target, especially as it relates to the issue of coverage of courts, for example, the extent to which we cover all the courts, the extent to which we do civil work. On the issue of coverage of courts, what we will try to, however, is again continue to better align supply and demand. So in a court, we want to still be able to cover all courts, but what we can do is we will analyze the demand from those courts, and then we will focus them, instead of, let's say, across 5 days in a week, we will focus it to 3 days. So we will also, it means, create a pressure for the courts to function more effectively so that they put all the legal aid matters over a smaller number of days, which then means that we have to service those in fewer days. And in the same way, we will still reach clients, but we don't have to have our practitioners there every day. So we're looking at that, of course, opportunity to better align supply and demand. But in some instances where it will cause a reduction in terms of the number of matters we will be advising for. The other challenges were covered by Judge Mukume when he opened, which is in the next two slides, so I won't go through that again because you have seen it. And if you have any questions on that, I'll be happy to respond. The last few slides talk to summary of performance, and again, those are just for completeness because we didn't talk to that in the entire presentation, and especially when you look at slide 75 onwards, you can see a comparative analysis across 3 years where you can see the number of matters and how they've changed the number of, like you can see in terms of civil matters, we increased from 12% of all our matters in civil to 13%. In terms of new legal matters, you can see that from the previous financial year, we are almost the same way. We were at 441,000, we now at 444,000. That leads to a slight increase in civil, but as far as criminal, as you know, that stabilized
want another seminar to follow on the two that attended, Investor of the North and Investor of Victoria. I hope you have been participating because your inputs are very valuable, than I'm told.
Honorable members,
thank you. of deciding which issues to tackle. We sit with a situation where I think there's a dire need, we all know there's a dire need in our country to start realizing social economic rights. But simultaneously, we, as a parliament, I think more and more are brought under the impression that there's a slight back in respect of first generation rights. We just yesterday learned from the Human Rights Commission, for example, that they are unable to make use of the powers their act gives them to embark on litigation to force the basic right to water in respect of certain municipalities where they've made adverse findings as long ago as 3 years. So the question is, does Legal Aid South Africa, is Legal Aid South Africa interested also in helping with impact litigation in that regard? Is there contact with the Human Rights Commission to assist on the one hand? And then secondly, if you could maybe give an indication as to those approved impact litigation cases, is it dealing with what type of generational human rights, if at all? The one other issue I wanted to raise is the issue of a report, the report that in respect of sexual offences related matters, it is reported that the unavailability of legal aid attorneys in 23.5% of the cases compared to 21% of last year contributed to postponements. If Legal Aid South Africa could maybe appraise us as to if any measures and efforts they will be introducing to prevent a situation like this. Unfortunately, I think we must say that postponement of these cases ultimately work negatively towards justice, first of all because delays I think ultimately contribute to a prolonging of emotional suffering on the part of victims on the one hand, but obviously also contribute to a situation where recollection of matters may come into play, specifically with minors if cases are postponed unduly. And that may lead to a situation where justice comes into question. Thank you.
It happened on the wrong face, so not just putting questions but making recommendations because we want action. Honorable, thank you very much, Chair, and thanks, Jim Legal Aid South Africa, for the presentation. Chair, I will echo what was said by Mukis in commending Legal Aid South Africa for continuing to raise the flag very high, continuing to stand in the front of South Africa, keep up the good work. You were not only able to keep up the good work, but you were able to sustain. I mean, 16 years is quite a long time. Nevertheless, keep it up. I will also raise a concern raised by Honorable Hall on non-compliance with the supply chain management policy. Never mind how significant it might be, but it happened. But my mind would be to check, because if a rotten apple spoils the pie, has there been consequences? At a glance, one will
I just want to ask a few questions. That policeman doesn't know the language called English. He knows the language. But he rightly has to interpret what is actually happening. And by the time it reaches the high court, it's a completely distorted thing. And that's of course it is the challenge of the court. I think they did the law. That's the law. The second one is there is no interpreter that can interpret the language as it is. In most cases, people don't understand. I gave this example in the course of saying, I, Jehovah. This may mean I hear you. It may mean I understand you. It may mean I agree with you. It may mean I disagree with you. This is not the only example. I mean, and yet we have we are using that. What is your opinion on that? The testing is a question of the feeling of the people. We used to have a hot thing. Where you have the oppressor taking a certain introducing something new. When somebody in the African culture, well, that's a law, wrong, the two families meet and they discuss the matter, and a solution is brought. A new thing was introduced. Where take it out of the cell, put into the white pot, ask them, give your doesn't understand what it's like. And then he told himself, tell you, and then he taken a look along the street. So that's still there. You still have the difference that now. These people are all, maybe they are all people for God. has been said, but it's all come. May not you deep perspective. Isn't it sad that today everything has been used in that particular so-called commentary school? Isn't it time for at least an apology in the court and the report to the language of those people in that paper? So that when it comes to what we get to what we said, I mean, this is happening in the one that came. Nothing new. Not only in Arabic, it's happening in the US that came. Everybody is fixing up the gospel, and the whole proceedings are in our gospel, and the report is in our gospel. Why can't we see journal that happens? And you people are operating differently. And this is exactly me. Given a reasonable. So what I'm trying to say is that I want you to understand what you, I mean, your opinion on that. Whether I'm wrong, and if I'm wrong, is this access to justice? When you do that thing, people feel that they are foreigners in the court, in their land, which is the only thing in the world, Africa, where people use English as a foreign language in India. And people also use French and French in their court, in their with India. They feel slave. And I want to think about that. I would think that's the third thing I want to ask. Is the, what is your contribution to a reduction of crime in the prisons? In most cases, magistrates will probably come, which is not your opinion, will come in around 10, 11, they get the court to start out there, in the rear, and then the matter of perform. What is your contribution to us for the sake of making sure that death of postponement and the thing is and so on, the all crying in prison? And what would be your contribution to us taking in 10, training your staff? Because legal aid is an assistance by government to people who don't have much money to give. People who are giving that particular donation need to have some kind of training. In other words, they are not what they are thinking. What do you have in your training? That type of training, feeling that you feel that they are contributing to the welfare of the country. Or do they see themselves as just holding and then they say, hey, we just give you. This is what is dangerous, it is not money to go.
relation to financial sustainability, noting of course that the scaling map of achieving clean audit are very commendable. In relation to financial sustainability, have they ever considered finding alternative sources of revenue other than parliamentary allocation to a purpose of developing pro bono lawyer network collaborative mechanisms so that they can cut all their expenditures? Have they ever considered utilizing law graduates to perform legal aid services on detention and voluntary basis? Lastly, in relation to the land question. Oh, before I deal with that, I wanted to answer why do they make a differentiation? And this is under employment equity. Why do they make a differentiation between black and African? Why do they make that? Maybe that they must not tell if there's any differentiation between the two. Last is on the method of relation to land claims. The report shows that about 7,180 of cases that they have handled, which makes about 40%. And this places land method third higher and assume the third spot after child and family cases. So do they realize that there's a lot of interest on land, and if they have, as well as seen that they even have intervened, and by asking the department to meet with the Department of Land Reform Rural Development for transfer of money designed for this purpose, inspiring and motivating to see that people have interest on this and the capacity of interested to come in the sufficient capacity to by the legal age to help land claims court and claimants of land to be fully represented so that claims are successfully adjudicated and land claimants draw or derive benefit out of land settlement and place it on land that they claim. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let me join my colleagues to sing the song of praises as usual for LASA. And like I said previously, it's always good to listen to you presenting in Parliament because of the kind of support that you bring for us. And let me also congratulate you for the unqualified with no evidence of NETA. The material findings quite commendable. And you actually spend 99% of your money on the video. That's very commendable. A general case has been included in the report as well. And I'm not going to really want to ask you how you make follow up on identified risks, because quite often in the performance it tells me that you didn't know that has been actually taking place. Actually, 93% of the targets, I'm sure they can achieve to 99% to change in the budget, but that is still very good. And then why did you know that the cost of cutting on spending
Thank you.
make sure that people attend to them for support, the whole question of language, which universities actually assist with the matter, and on the transformation forum, I think you should get to know what are they going to do. I think we would also have to get the universities to come in and brief us as to what they are doing. And it would be good also to have your transformation agenda and thoughts, what are the terms of reference, which direction are you taking. But as we normally do, there are things that we would not want to hear. You can follow up in writing, because through the point of loss, we have only 10 minutes for responses. We started late because of technical challenges. So if you could use that 10 minutes to respond to the salient issues raised.
Thank you very much. I'm trying to respond I'll respond to two questions. One on language and the question on aggressiveness. I think the issue of aggressiveness as categorized by the committee, is an issue that is worrying all of us. And as artists, as judges and legislators, we have this problem. One of the things that we have identified is not an issue that can be resolved by legal means. It needs a whole lot of stakeholders. We have, most of us have realized that aggressive crime is out when people have been intake is alcohol and drugs. And to that extent, we believe that government should tighten free access to liquor. The laws around liquor are too loose. Liquor is available everywhere, anytime, even to people who are not supposed to take liquor. The issue of drug control is lies squarely in the hands of the police. How many times have we had to hear cases of people being nabbed for drug dealing, and the following day they are out continue selling drugs? The issue of free access to drugs is not improperly dealt with by, and that's the cost of aggressiveness in the number of drugs. So it's not an issue that legal aid itself can resolve, but it needs government to do something about access to liquor, control of liquor, as well as strict management of the police and the government. The issue of language is a point well taken. It's an issue that has been bedeviling us right from the time when the law societies themselves were sitting with problem. Should English be the only language of our effort or not? Eventually, we're left open. The issue of language is correct that it starts right there at the time when the complainant reports a case at the police station. I've often asked policemen, but why did you write this statement in English when the person who is speaking to you speaks the same language as you speak? Why did you not write the statement in the language that you understand? So there are two issues that I think should be done. One, people are able to write their own statement. I've always said, when you get to the police station, write one statement in your own language and hand it over. Whoever wants this interpretation of that statement will put up the interpretation later. It makes no sense for a policeman who may not have a good command of the English language to then try and translate what you have said into English. It's completely infantile.
the damage that drugs and alcohol does on society, but at the same time, for other strange reasons, continue making these dangerous substances that accessible to young people. But also the transformation, maybe as Parliament, given your limited resources, we should partner with you and really have a transformation summit which will also include law graduates so that we can hear victims of this accessibility of legal literacy, legal training and so on. But I must say that each time we appear before this committee, we learn something, we have something to add on our agenda, and we want to say to you, keep up the good work, and we take seriously your recommendation. And lastly, I'm still wondering whether there should be a dedicated fund for land claimants that is administered by yourselves, because you are in touch with the ground. We know where the need is the greatest,
You don't want our food. You don't like our food.
Thank you. Thank you.
before in the presentation. It's on the report of the accounting authority. Chair and honorable members, we do recognize that the improvements of SIU organizational framework requires stability to the operation environment, robust accountability, attaining growth through operational excellence, and demonstrating significance in our changing environment. Chair, as I mentioned, that currently we are busy with the organizational review, and that would then focus on the organization's long-term strategy with clear measurable goals. We would like to take concrete steps to mitigate and overcome some of the challenges that, that the organization has. In our presentation, the last slide made reference to some of the challenges that we have identified and how is it that we are mitigating those challenges. Chair, this organizational review project aims also to improve the organization through a improved organizational design. We would like to make sure that we also review the remuneration structure of the organization, adequate job designs and career paths, and also ensure that our strategy is well focused so that we improve on the efficiencies of SIU. Moving on, the next slide, Chair, is around the audit opinion as expressed by the Auditor General. Chair, it gives me a pleasure to report to this committee that for the first time since the inception of SIU, and that's 21 years plus, that SIU has received what colloquially referred to as a clean audit. In regulation terms, it really means that it is an unqualified audit with no significant findings. We are really pleased. That slide really just indicates the opinion of the Auditor General, which I will not repeat, but it is important for us to just underpin this finding that we will continue to do our best to ensure that we sustain the clean audit outcome. On the next slide, we thought it appropriate, Chair, just to ensure that we paint a picture of the audit outcomes 12, 13, 13, 14, up to 16, 17. There has been quite a good trajectory since then. SIU has been receiving unqualified audit opinion since 2012-13, in fact, in terms of that picture. moving on, the next slide really summarizes the highlights as contained in our annual report. And this will come out in the indicator that come afterwards. Over and above the governance that has been improved and hence the clean audit, Chair, we have ensured that we focus on the indicator. And you'll see later in the presentation that there's a significant improvement compared to the previous financial year. we submitted the six reports to the Presidency. The of money that we recovered for the state, about 126 million. We recovered the actual value of money and our assets that has been recovered for the state is 43.5 million. The value of payments that were not made in 4 months as a result of SIU intervention, those are valued at 106 million. The value of contracts and administrative action set aside as a result of SIU intervention, those are valued at 4 billion.
here, and the value of matters in respect of which evidence was referred to state institutions to institute civil proceedings, that is valued at about 3.8 billion. The number of referrals that have been referred to MPA for prosecution, 108. The number of referrals made for disciplinary actions, 137. If I just move to the next slide, Chair. The next slide, line by line, really itemizes those matters that have been highlighted in the previous slide. You'll see on this slide, Chair, there's two items. 8 out of 10 indicators have been achieved. The ones that have not been achieved, it's value of money and or assets potentially recoverable, and the actual value of money or assets are recovered. Chair, the committee will recall, and will again repeat it today, that when we appeared in the committee earlier this year, we did give a lengthy explanation in terms of how the targets were configured and what is it that we are doing to ensure that we come up with the targets that are really achievable. The next slide, I'm not going to go through it line by line, Chair. Right, thank you. The next slide, we put the slide in the presentation, not in the annual report, simply to do a year-on-year comparison. That slide shows that in the year 1516, 2 out of 7 indicators were achieved. But Chair, it's just an indication on our side that we have put in measures to ensure that there is significant improvement compared to the financial year for which this annual report is for. I'd like to move on with your permission, Chair. The next slide, go according to each and every item on the performance indicators. You'll see that the first item is the number of investigations closed out. The KPI is KPI 1. The target of investigations closed out was 800, and the total number of investigations closed out was 1,186, which that the target has been achieved and exceeded. Chair, as I indicated before, that in each and every proclamation, there may be a number of investigations, focus areas, and these investigations closed out refer to that aspect. One proclamation may have various focuses, and each focus area really requires some time and ensure that we really put resources to ensure that there's good outcome. So you see on that slide, there's a number of investigations closed out, and then there's a proclamation number, and then there's a state institution to which it refers. So you can see that there's really quite a number of investigations that have been closed out per proclamation. At that stage, the investigations may still be going on, but we thought it appropriate so that the committee is aware of really what's occupying the investigators. The next slide, the number of reports submitted to the presidency. The number of reports, we submitted 6 reports which were finalized, and as I indicated, that at the time when the report is submitted to the president, there would have been quite a number of outcomes that have been made. And those outcomes, when we come to them, they vary from referral to the National Prosecuting Authority, they vary from hearings and civil litigation matters, and referrals to other state institutions such as SAR and so on. So at the time when the president receives the report, already we have taken a number of steps, a number of actions taken, simply because we would learn and the approach is not to delay the action to be taken until the report is tabled. What then follows is that we need to then do follow up to ensure that state institutions carry out the recommendations of our reports. Here, that slide you see that we've now even just indicated that on the left hand side will be a number, really just say the number of reports, proclamation number, proclamation name, and date of for on which the report was submitted, the outcome. We've added this column here around the outcome, just so that members can see the impact that each and every report would have. The number of outcomes and any value, you know, that we could attach to either some of the referrals. We didn't have these columns before, but I think it's important for this committee to note that the impact of each and every report that's submitted and what are the actions that could have been taken, any value related thereto. Chair, if I move on, the other indicator, which I've already indicated, is the value of money and of assets potentially recoverable. This indicator measures the value or assets that a potential recovery for the state from settlement. The target was 240 million, the amount recovered or potential recovery is 126.9. As I indicated, when we appeared before the committee, we set similar report on these two items. We did a root cause analysis, Chair and honorable members. There were challenges with methods referred to asset forfeiture units in terms of ensuring that they are processed, because when this target was set, we had in mind that there would be asset forfeiture methods that have been processed. But the prosecuting authority informed us that there's an appeal against some of the asset forfeiture processes. But that appeal has since been finalized, and the ruling has been in favor of the NPA. In which case, some of the measures that have been pending can now be processed. But they have now been fed back to the so-called court of appeal, the previous court, which really has the matter. So we are expecting that we should see some movement in that regard. Again, the delays that we have seen in the civil matters area, we have been on the contact with Judge Brazil, because we realize that if we don't do that, there will not be an opportunity for us to really hear it in the present circumstances, fast track the civil litigation. We've consulted with various Dutch presidents. The rationale for contacting them was really to unlock or to create measures where the High Court could assist in terms of fast tracking the cases that SIU referred. And we have seen positive outcomes. Our civil litigation department is reporting that you know, those interactions are bearing fruit. In terms of the profile of our methods, there's been quite a change of profile of methods, vis-a-vis those that we had before, which had quite a number of outcomes and which also ensured or enabled SIU to recover. For example, the SAFA method, in that we have now have sort of seen change. I did indicate that we need to also review the targets in the next financial year to ensure that it really aligns with the SMART principles. The next is the KPI 3 still continues. So without going all this line by line, the next slide, slide number 13, just indicates the description of the outcomes and the values attached to each outcome that makes out the 126 million. Moving forward, with your permission, Chair and members, the actual value of money and of assets recovered, I did indicate that the target was 140, we recovered 43.5 million. The root cause analysis is similar to the value that is potentially recoverable as they really overlap. So the root cause analysis pointed us to the same or if not similar cost that we are addressing. The next slide is itemizing the items that make up that target and the value of those items. If I move on, Chair, the value of potential loss prevented, that's another KPI number 5. These measures the prevention of loss generated as a result of SIU action or through the use of SIU evidence. The target was 18 million. We have really achieved 106 million, which really assisted us to ensure that we exceed this target. And again, similarly, the next slide goes into details of that KPI, and attached to each KPI is the value. And you see at the bottom is the number, the value of the measures that has been prevented. The next indicator, which is KPI number 6, is the value of contract and administrative action set aside or deemed invalid. These are the areas, Chair, which we go to call civil action, where contracts were awarded irregularly, we then present evidence, the contract gets set aside, and the next leg of the contract is to ensure that we recover the money that are due for state institutions. The value of this item, as I indicated, it's 4 billion against the target of 600 million. Chair, the next slide, they go into proclamation number and what has been done under that specific proclamation, which then gives the actual values of that indicator. If I just high level, the slide number 19, Chair, perhaps for members to indicate you to note, there's numbers on the bottom left of the slide. Those numbers on the bottom left of the slide reference back to the annual report. So you'll see that these are in exactly the manner that were reported in the annual report. So you see that about 756 million is a matter that was in the Department of Communication. In the next proclamation is the Rural Development and Land Reform. In that matter, there's a value of about 651 million. All of those are really matters that relate to irregular awards of contracts. The next one, slide number 20, is the proclamation related to the Department of Transport. There's a contract relating to TASIMA, which provides traffic management services. Without going into the detail of that, we worked closely with the Department of Transport for a very long time. It was a lengthy litigation. It went through the High Court. It even ended up at the Constitutional Court. So at the end, the Constitutional Court ruled in favor of government. And government here, I include SIU, the Road Traffic Management, the Department of Transport, where about the value of that contract was about 2 billion and 500 million. So it's quite significant. We were quite impressed that as a result of the evidence that has been gathered and inputted by SIU, we were able to make that impact. The next proclamation is Proclamation 31 of 2016 is Amashati Local Municipality. This is also another matter which affects the local government space. So in this case, the value of the contract is the department or the municipality, which as a result of SIU advice, we were able to save about 107 million. So this relates to some equipment which were, you know, lended to the municipalities under the number of misrepresentations that were made by the service provider. Without going into details yet, we identified that, we advised the municipality, and we advised the municipality to then start the process to terminate the agreement. The process of the contract termination is still in the High Court for those other matters related to that. The next slide is KPI number 7. These are the value of civil matters. Again, without going into detail, this measures the value of matters in respect of which SIU instituted or facilitated civil proceedings, or where civil proceedings, including arbitration or counter-civil proceedings, were instituted. So the target set for that was 1.2 billion. We've achieved 3.8 billion, which really means that the target has been exceeded. But again, similar to the previous slide, Chair, there's quite a number of narratives related to that. The next slide, slide number 23, indicates the proclamation related to that item and the values that have been recovered. It's slide number 23 up to slide number 29. Those are the matters that constitute that indicator and that make out the 3.8 billion. With your permission, Chair, if need be, I can go through it line by line, but I can take questions later on any of those items that the honourable members may pose. The next slide, which is slide number 30, page 28 in the annual report, is NPA.